WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And New York keeps trying to fight congestion and pollution in new and innovative ways. The new idea is now on the city's table: parking meters that charge peak and off-peak rates, and narrowing Broadway to one lane of traffic each way between 34th Street and 42nd Street. The other lane in each direction would be turned over to pedestrians and bicyclists. But will it work? City Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan is back with us to talk about the new plans. Also with us is Donald Shoup, who's been called the rock star of the parking world. He's a professor of urban planning at UCLA. Jeanette Sadiq Khan and Donald Shoup, welcome back, both of you, to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
Thank you.
Commissioner, let's talk about the parking meters first. You're trying out this plan in parts of the city, I understand, where meter rates could double during peak hours. Where and how much?
Well, we are looking at two pilot programs, one in the West Village and one in Kings Highway in Brooklyn. And the idea is we've got to do a much better job of how we manage our curb space in the city. I mean, we're basically in gridlock. And there are two related traffic problems that cause congestion on the streets of New York: cruising for parking, and when cruising fails to turn up a spot, parking illegally by either double parking or stopping in bus stops. So in both cases, you've got a breakdown in local mobility, which completely disrupts traffic deep into the network. So we're looking for sustainable strategies for managing our curbside parking, and this is one of the tools that we're looking to do.
How does that help? If it's going to cost more to park at a meter in Greenwich Village, why will that stop people from cruising for a parking spot?
Well, because it will encourage turnover. So what we're trying to do is to find that sweet spot where there's less cruising and less double parking and less congestion by pricing our meters a little differently. So we're calling it congestion parking. It's a pretty simple idea, and Donald Shoup pioneered it. It's a system where the rate of parking increases during the times of the day when there's the most traffic on the street. So if you're like most people, you probably don't think about the rates at curbside parking meters. You just grab a quarter from between the street, your seats of your car or your glove compartment, and pop them in. And so what we're trying to do is to increase the rates when the demand for parking is highest and therefore encourage turnover.
Right. What are the actual numbers? What does it cost now to park for an hour on those Greenwich Village or Kings Highway streets, and what will it cost?
It's basically it's a dollar now. And we're looking at, in the West Village, and we're looking at $2 or $2.50 during peak hours, which could be anywhere between 11 to 2 or noon to 3. And the same, it's 75 cents in Kings Highway, and we're looking at, $1.50, et cetera, during the peak periods there. But again, we're working very closely with the communities and the neighborhoods and still collecting the data to determine what the rate should be.
Professor Shoup, do you think that's enough to make a difference? By New York City parking garage standards, if you're paying $2.50, $3, whatever it is, an hour for parking, that's still like, yeah, I'll grab that.
Yes. Well, Brian, I think that curb parking in Manhattan should be priced exactly the way you said that the tickets at Yankee Stadium are priced.
All our segments relate to all our other segments today. Go ahead. Sorry.
That I think it should be done just the way the ticket prices are at Yankee Stadium, and New York would get an A in economics, the way your professor suggested, and the city would get cleaner air and smoother traffic.
But wouldn't that mean parking goes only to the wealthy?
No, I don't think so, because I think that in Manhattan, a very small share of all people occupy the curb parking spaces. This relatively small number of people suck up all the oxygen and then complain about how much it's costing them. Most poor people in Manhattan do not own a car, and most people who own a car don't park on the street.
We can take reactions, listeners, on our website or on the phone to these ideas. You heard about the parking meter peak charges for Greenwich Village and Kings Highway as a first-shot experiment, and we'll talk about closing one lane of traffic in each direction to cars on Broadway from 34th to 42nd with the New York Transportation Commissioner, Jeanette Sadi Khan, and the parking guru, Donald Shoup from UCLA. Our phone number, 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. Do you like it if you live in the affected neighborhoods or work there? Do you like it anyway? 646-778-3729. Or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Commissioner, just before we get off that price point question, do you think doubling it to something like $250 is going to make a difference? Isn't that still a big bargain for parking in New York that people won't really think about before shelling it out?
Well, we do think it's going to make a difference, and that's why we're moving forward with it. But again, it's a pilot program, and so the idea is to test it out and see what works. If it needs to be higher, then we'll make it higher. But we thought we would start at this level and then see if we're able to clear one or two spots per block. And, you know, do everything we can to improve congestion, air quality, and our quality of life. So this is the first phase, and again, we're working very closely with communities. This is not just a top-down piece. This is something that, you know, we've been working with communities, and they understand that something's got to be done, and something's got to be done differently. And so this is, you know, one of the ways that we're looking to address congestion in the city.
Tell us about the lane closings on Broadway.
Well, it's a very exciting program. What we're basically doing is taking seven blocks from 42nd to 35th Street and connecting Times Square and Herald Square. We're also putting in a protected bike path, and so we're grabbing about 22,000 square feet of new pedestrian space. This area is really teeming with pedestrians, and yet people don't generally walk between these two really iconic places in the city, and so we're making it a lot easier for people to get around by connecting a sort of green ribbon of sorts to these two really terrific destinations.
Now, by doing this right there in the heart of Midtown, Broadway between 34th Street and 42nd Street, are you hoping to create a ripple effect that will actually create more, and maybe this is a conspiracy theory, but create more traffic in Midtown on the other streets and make it more inhospitable to drive there?
No. We've done studies that have shown that the reduction in motor vehicle lanes should not have a significant impact on traffic in the area. And Broadway, Brian, is already two lanes south of Herald Square at 34th Street and north of Times Square at 42nd. So this is really rationalizing the network.
And that's obviously the biggest tourist stretch in the city. You're basically going from Herald Square to Times Square. Was that part of the reason for doing it there?
Well, it's certainly, you know, Broadway Boulevard. Broadway is an iconic name, and to have a place that's worthy of that name is something that's very exciting. Obviously, these are two great places, and we want to do everything we can to connect them. It's funny because every time we put out a new plaza or new public space, people flock to it and use it because a lot of times, you know, they find that the city is really a city without streets. So we're creating more places for people to spend time, which is also really good for retail businesses, which all benefit from the additional foot traffic.
Larry, in the West Village, you're on WNYC with Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadi Khan and Donald Shoup. Hi.
Well, I think I'm old enough to remember when parking meters first came in. We are now living in the edge of the West Village. Two of us got rid of our cars when we came back to New York 10 years ago. But I remember that the rationalization originally for these parking meters was that it was going to help customer turnover. The merchants were going to get more exposure. And soon enough, within a, I can't remember the exact time frame, it became apparent that the small merchants on these little streets, what's 6th Avenue and the others, were sending people out every half hour, a quarter hour, whatever it was, to put a dime or a quarter at the time in the meter. And pretty soon you could see the merchants' cars were blocking all virtually all the spaces, and the rationalization was ridiculous. Mm.
Commissioner, is that the history as you understand it?
Well, it's. I think that there's a lot of frustration on the streets of New York about how our street space is used, and it's not a surprise to me that goes back in history. But what we're really trying to do is address the issue that was just raised, and to try to bring some rationale to how people use space in the city of New York and whether or not they decide to drive. I mean, the principle of congestion parking is to encourage people to park for shorter periods of time, which is very much along the lines of that original notion. And some motorists are going to be more efficient and combine their errands instead of driving from place to place. And some may decide to make the trip by walking, biking, or taking public transit. And so we think this is a win all the way around in that regard.
And we have a question on our webpage that asks, any thought to resident parking permits in these neighborhoods as done in other cities, so people who actually live there get priority?
Well, Brian, as you know, that was part of the menu of options that we were looking at with congestion pricing, and we actually need state legislation in order to move forward with residential parking. But I think that it's an idea that we're certainly looking to explore again with our partners in Albany next session.
Right, and the congestion pricing brought up resident parking with respect to those areas just outside the congestion pricing zone, so people just don't come and all park in, just above 86th Street or wherever it was going to be. But I think this questioner is asking, really on a more ongoing basis, shouldn't residents of all the various neighborhoods have priority over whoever may be cruising there for business reasons or whatever? Does that make sense as a concept?
Well, I think that obviously if you're doing something like congestion pricing, much as you said, Brian, you need to figure out ways to make sure that neighborhoods are not inundated with incoming traffic by people trying to escape what would be the fee. In this case, what we're looking to do is bring some different concepts to bear, whether it is congestion parking fees or different types of enforcement, working with our colleagues at the New York City Police Department to try to figure out ways to make traffic flow smoother. But again, on the residential parking permit program, even if we wanted to institute it, we can't do anything about it until we get approval from the state legislature.
Right. Okay. Donald Shoup, what do you think, in theory, as the parking guru here, about resident parking permits?
Well, I think it would be difficult in Manhattan because there's so many more people than there are curb parking spaces. But I think that certainly charging higher prices for curb parking will never be popular. Nobody wants to pay higher prices for parking. But if the city does what some other cities do, which is commit some of the added revenue to pay for public improvements on the metered streets, people would see the benefits right as when they're walking in front of their houses. And I think most residents would really like that.
Peter in Gowanus, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Okay, so I got a question about the congestion pricing. Does it swing the other way if you're in a part of the city where there's virtually no traffic? Can you park for less? That's first of all, because it seems kind of aggressive to be charging people more but not swinging it the other way. The second point is, take care of illegal driveways and fix the meters that don't work. You make more money and provide more space. And I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner?
Well, first of all, we're only trying this out in two pilot areas. So, the existing rules, will still apply. We're not looking to reduce the price of parking, which we already think is quite a bargain, as has been pointed out. But what we're trying to do is, again, address the issue of congestion and gridlock that we've got in our streets, which is a real problem not only for residents, visitors, but local businesses as well. So we're really trying to focus on that part of the problem initially. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're doing everything we can to fix meters and up our game in terms of infrastructure investment. I do want to also respond to something that Don Shoup said, which is, he did do this program in Pasadena, California, where they were allowed to take the dedicated revenues from this program and use them for street improvements. We are prohibited by the city charter to take money and from dedicated revenue streams and use them for dedicated purposes. So I just wanted to clarify.
All right. Well, the city's doing all kinds of things. And, you know, the last time you were on, we talked about your plan to close some east side streets to traffic on three Saturdays in August.
Yeah.
You might have noticed it inspired us to invite listeners to suggest other routes that might be ripe for weekend street closings in other neighborhoods. We put together a Google map of all the ones that people chimed in with, and they range from Coney Island Avenue from Kensington down to the ocean, Pelham Parkway from Westchester Avenue to Orchard Beach, all kinds of things. So good to see that you're experimenting and with parking and street closures and more options for pedestrians and bicyclists. And I guess we'll see how these pilot programs work out, huh?
Well, thanks, Brian. And I certainly hope that everybody that sent in some suggestions comes out to play on the streets of New York on August 9th, 16th, and 23rd. And we look forward to seeing you then.
Jeanette Sadi Khan, the New York City Transportation Commissioner. Donald Chu, Professor of Urban Planning at UCLA. Your book on parking is called
The High Cost of Free Parking.
Thanks for joining us.